This is part 2 of 2 of our podcast with Claire Imada.
Welcome back.
It's very true. And I think there is something to that. Birth order is something that's very
got interesting it.
To me. You want to run that one like, back so we can edit that into the podcast?
You could edit that in.
You can cut that. So birth order has always been really interesting to me and how that like affects your personality. I do think that there's, you know, certain things that kind of you can find similarities in. Obviously, everyone's different and everyone expresses those kind of qualities differently. You could make the same argument probably for horoscopes and stuff. But anyway, one of the things about only children is that they tend to have better relationships with their parents. Also could have just been from my like experience in life. I don't know if I actually read that somewhere, but anyway, so like, I feel like that is a great gift, you know, to you, that you have such a good like relationship with your parents, where like if you have siblings, then by default you hate your parents, which I'm just kidding. But it does seem like the only children have, you know, a much better relationship. But I know someone like, you know, Jenna, she has a really good relationship like with her mom. And so it's not that, you know, other people can't have it, but you know, you're absolutely right that there's probably something there where you have such a good relationship that you're able to talk to them a certain way, that they can talk to you in a certain way. And then it kind of like spreads out to other people who are of that generation where, you know, like I think you're right. There is this kind of like us versus them mentality when you're a sibling, and you try to, I don't know, outsmart them or, you know, try to find things like around their rules and stuff. And you stick up for each other like when they're like coming down on you. So like that kind of thing where that's really interesting to me. And if I could go so far as to like, I don't know, question your personality more, but you said that you were good for like the year without people. And you also said that you were most outgoing in high school. But to me, it sounds like you are a little similar to me in the sense that you are an extroverted introvert, because that's, you know, kind of how I view myself. If you were to see me outside of the house, I would be in the right setting, very extroverted. And like, I could talk for a long time. I'm very loud. Everyone knows, you know, who I am and stuff. But, you know, if I'm at home, I've had a long day of like talking to people. I just want to be by myself. I don't want to do anything. And like, the pandy was amazing for me, just being like, oh great, I don't have to see anybody for like ever, then I'll check that box, thank you. But I was wondering, do you feel the same way, or are you just completely like extroverted?
Oh man, I think what's hard is that pre-pandemic I took the 16 personalities test, and it tells you like your percentage of like extrovert to introvert. I was 98% extroverted and 2% introverted.
What?
Very unheard of. And then I took it like middle pandy, like, you know, when you're bored, and as we were all bored, I was about 86% extroverted. So I think now that after the pandemic and after like I realized, oh, I could, it's okay that I can sleep around and tell everybody I can't do anything and just, you know, have a nothing weekend. I think I've learned that I need to recharge before I go back out into the world. But I think it's like shock therapy when everyone was like, oh, we can hang out again. Let's all hang out and let's all schedule it at once. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And then after that, I would just be exhausted. And I would tell Matt, I was like, why am I so tired? He's like, you have not seen humans in a very, very long time. And I was like, oh, so I think I'm slowly getting back. Like, I guess the extroverted tank is slowly starting to come back because I'm slowly starting to schedule myself then again. But I think I also need to like remember like to nurture the like whatever percentage of introvert I am still at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Socializing is like, it is
the worst.
So much effort. Yeah.
The like, worst.
Yeah. I mean, I'll see Matt for like half an hour and be like, I need to take a nap or something.
It's true.
Right.
We'll like get dinner together and then we'll be like, I got to go home and sleep for like the rest of the weekend, basically.
Right, right.
Wait, Reverend Matt, have you taken the 16 personalities test? It's the Myers-Briggs one. Yeah, it's
the Myers-Briggs.
But we were like I don't want to say NFT, but you could be one of the like
ENFP.
I am a non-fungible token, yes.
Yes. Can we do a podcast on that? I still do not understand NFTs.
NFTs? Well, if you find somebody who knows what they are, because all of us would just be like, I don't know.
It's just a anyway. No, I won't go down the rabbit hole. But
It's funny you should say that because Matt has picked up NFTs recently, and I'm just like, why are you doing this? And he basically told me that it's like Pokemon, like trading cards, but it's only like a picture on your phone.
But it's a
and he has no way of cashing in.
But it's a picture on his phone.
Yeah, it's just a piece of art. It's an artwork.
I mean, it sounds to me, it sounds less like, well, no, it does. It sounds exactly like Pokemon, because then you would have a big binder of Pokemon cards and you'd be like, you know what? These are going to be worth something someday. And in 20 years, they will be worth nothing.
Actually, Pokemon cards are worth a lot right now.
Like, are they? Right.
They're right. And more. I think you're going with Beanie Babies.
Oh, Beanie Baby
vibes. Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No. Okay. So back to the 16 personality thing. I was just wondering if you had done it because on the 16 personalities website, like Claire was saying, it gives you a percentage of like how extroverted versus introverted you are. And it's funny because Claire's like, yeah, I'm like 90% and now I'm 80. And I'm like, I'm over here like, I'm like 54% and 46% of like extrovert, introvert.
I don't know. I mean, I know I've taken it before. I don't think I remember my percentages though. So maybe for the next one.
Yeah. In the next episode, when we don't talk to Claire and we talk to somebody else, we'll just bring it up.
Yeah, just bring it up.
Just randomly.
Like, hey, what's your 16 personalities and what percentage did you get?
They'll be like, what?
Yeah.
Was that homework before this? Oh, you should just have them do it before.
Oh, there you go. That'll be our introduction question to everybody. Introduce your name, where you're from.
And what percentage of extrovert are you?
And we'll get somebody who's all introvert and it'll just be silence for like an hour.
Or they wouldn't show up. They would have their camera off. They would not record anything.
I will say that has not happened to us yet. Like somebody showed up with a camera off the whole time, which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah. I always follow like if I join a meeting later or like if I'm the first one to join, I go camera off. But then if people show up with camera on, then I turn it on and vice versa. I just follow the trend because if not, it's like awkward if I'm
talking. You're just a sheeple.
Right. And I'm just like,
hey. I just show up and my camera's always on. And I'm like, oh, we're not doing cameras. Okay. I'll turn mine off then.
It's like coming to it like a potluck, bringing something and you didn't know if you were supposed to bring it. And then you go, I'm just going to go put this in my car and then come back and be normal.
That's exactly it. I'm like, well, I'm here. I'm going to have my camera on.
I got to commit.
Yeah.
Got to go full commit.
Yeah.
There's all these new social conventions that we have now with this like new Zoom era where like, you know, who would have thought like back in the day, be like, oh yeah, we're going to have video calling in the future. People are like, oh yeah, that sounds like something. There's going to be a social etiquette on whether you come on muted or not. Like, huh? Well, I didn't think about that.
Everyone should always come on muted.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
for sure.
There's too many conversations going on sometimes in those Zoom meetings.
Oh yeah.
You can, you know, as you mentioned about like boomers, you can always tell who's not technologically like there yet. When they come on, they're like, hey, what? No, I'm going outside. All right. Okay. See you later. Like, oh,
I'm on a meeting for Southern District.
My favorite is when they're like, is my camera on? I'm like, just looking. You'd be able to see yourself. I don't know what you want.
Right.
Oh God. I hope nobody at our temple listens to this. Cause we just roasted half of the people in our, in our board meetings.
Let's be honest. If they don't know how to use Zoom, they can't listen to a podcast.
Hey, you never know. They might download it and put it on a CD. Put it on a CD for themselves.
It'll take them. Yeah. Like 2 hours on their dial-up internet. Like,
transfer it to a floppy.
Yeah. No, Claire, you know there's not enough memory on a floppy. They would need at least three of them.
They'll put it on their Zune.
Oh God.
Oh wow, that was like a Pandora's box in my brain of like, wow, that was a memory right there.
Yeah, that was, that's right. That was a thing. All right. Well, since you do have a little bit of introvert, it would seem as though you spent some time, and you mentioned that you, one of the things coming out of college is you wanted to have a hobby. What is your hobby?
Ooh, that's a really great question. I think coming out of college, I used Nisei Week as a hobby. And then I realized like, oh, volunteering is a lot of work. So right now I've just been like, it's a lot of work.
Volunteering is too hard. Giving back is so hard.
no, volunteering's great. Everybody should do volunteering.
At least one thing. Volunteer for one thing.
Well, yeah, one thing. Know what time you got. But I think my most recent hobby has just been working out. I think before I used to think it wasn't a hobby, but now I'm just like, oh, I gotta work out. This is like what I make sure I do every time. But now I've just been. I felt like Temple was also a hobby too, because I felt like you could go in and out of it. You don't have to feel like, oh, I stopped dancing. That's all, you know, it's a for sure finite date of ending. Like you can always go back to Temple. I haven't gone to service though in quite a while. I went to service for Osebo and that was back in December. But I think it's a lot of like volunteering for Shinen Kai, because this year we did a talent show. So I edited all of that stuff together. So I think slowly I'm realizing that the things that I took for granted or thought was like a chore or like part of the job, like part of a job now is like a hobby, essentially. Matt and I just brewed some beer. So I think it's picking up random activities.
Did you get into the sourdough bread at the beginning of the pandemic as well?
I did not, because I don't like sourdough bread. It's too sour.
I'm canceling this podcast immediately. This is truly unacceptable.
What was like a pandemic thing that I got into? My mom and I baked a lot.
Wordle?
No, I refuse. Why? I did get into TikTok though. Ooh. I think that was a pandemic ad.
Same.
Yeah. You learn so much stuff on TikTok.
Part of the reason why I feel like I use TikTok is also so that I understand what my junior YB kids are talking about. And that I'm not like,
relevant.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you guys talking about over there with the renegade?
Teach me how to do it.
Yeah.
Teach me how.
Oh God. If you ever catch me with my junior YBA kids doing a TikTok dance, you have to get me removed as their advisor.
I think you should. And I think that's another thing that Temple hasn't tapped into is like the younger generation of letting them like run a social media account, but none of the younger members at our temple really want to pursue that in life. They just kind of want to be engineers. I don't know if it's like the demographic, because their parents all work at El Segundo, like in El Segundo with like Raytheon and Boeing and all that stuff. Maybe it is, but I'm like, where are the artsy kids? Like, don't you guys want to like create a graphic for Gardena Buddhist Church? That's like, let's add to your portfolio or something. Yeah,
that's so funny, because like I feel like our junior YBA, we have a lot of, or our junior YBA, and then even the college age people are very like arts forward. So we have right. We have a few kids that are like in musical theater, like do participate in the community theater and stuff. And then one of our board members' daughters did like our flyers for a bowl, our virtual bowl, and then our virtual bazaar this year. But I feel like, and then we've had a few dancers like in our junior YBA. So it's funny that you say that, because I don't know a lot of people in our junior YBA that want to be like engineers and stuff.
That's crazy. And you would think since you guys are up in NorCal, there would be more computer engineering.
I'm sure a lot of them do end up like going into it, because a lot of our junior YB kids are very smart, like much smarter than I ever was or will be. But it's funny. I think kind of like you, like their hobbies are these things that kind of become more important in their lives.
Right.
Yeah. Cause you were a musical theater kid in high school, right?
Yeah. I was a weird theater kid. I was one of those kids, but I also was like never in basketball, cause in basketball you don't take turns. So I didn't like that. So I did softball, cause you take turns.
I mean, if you're good at basketball, every turn is your turn.
Yeah. You have to fight for your turn. I was not about that life. So I think down here, the priorities are definitely different of like I talked to my fiance and his priorities were Taekwondo, Boy Scouts, church, and soccer, and maybe basketball, but like the soccer and basketball, it wouldn't happen at the same time that church was happening, or, you know, it was something way different. Like, it's just like we talked about Obons, it's just like scheduling, and it's all in the schedule of like what you're able to do and what you want to commit to.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole having, you know, all this time to schedule things, like as a kid, I feel like it's very different for you guys growing up, even, for me, I didn't have as much, I feel like, all these different things to like commit to. There was like church, and then I also played church ball, so they never conflicted because it was the same thing. So like I had kind of like, I don't know, time to just be lonely, but like I feel like now kids are so scheduled throughout their day that it's like hard for them to really find time for anything else, or even really time for like one thing, you know, like it's always, you're spread so thin that it's hard to commit to one thing and then just go with it because there's so many other things. But I mean, that was really interesting how it was different. And then I will say that, yeah, we're, Sacramento is kind of far removed from Silicon Valley. So there's not like, that's although true. We do have like a new campus for Apple nearby in Elk Grove. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it's, I felt like it was such a kind of Asian stereotype when you were talking about, you know, the engineers, everyone wants to be an engineer. And I didn't realize how at Sacramento, we were kind of like breaking that mold because, I follow different Asian like media accounts or publications or stuff. And they're always really trying to promote the arts to Asian people because that's how you get representation, right, in the media and being seen and having your stories represented for not just your own community, but for, you know, the community at large, for everyone to really see it. So I'm definitely for more people getting the arts, and it's not to say I'm not against people getting, you know, becoming engineers. We need engineers.
Right. I think it's hard because we need both.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like as a parent, you just want to see your kid succeed and not have to struggle. And unfortunately, that's kind of how it is with the arts, where like you gotta, it's not like softball. You don't get a turn. You really got to fight for,
right,
to get, you know, that spot. And so I get that it can be really scary, but I hope that trend does continue because we absolutely need that kind of representation, even on this, you know, like board level, on this temple, right, level, right? So we are very fortunate that we have one of the members of our temple, her daughter does fantastic work, like just amazing, you know, that she did this Manakineko, which was, I think, probably one of my favorite logos of, you know, any of the Obon things, because they have like the mask on and everything. It's very, very cute.
How cute.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with all this, other than like, yeah, we absolutely need more people in the arts. We need people working for our social media, because that costs a lot of money if you pay for it. So if we have kids volunteer, then that's free labor, which is always good for the temples, right?
It's volunteer hours.
I don't know. How do you see social media being incorporated into the future of the temples? Because I know I was reading an article somewhere, I can't remember if I talked about this last podcast or maybe something else, but anyway, how like social media is different now in the sense that how we conduct business has been forever changed. When people want to buy something, first thing, they go to the website, right? Like before looking at anything else, like they go to their website. And that's, I think, indicative of maybe the older generation, right? Maybe some of the Gen Xers. But as the younger group comes in, they're going to be shopping. They're shopping more on Instagram, on Facebook. Right. And so like, that's where the storefronts have to be. We have to be present. And, you know, not necessarily that we're selling any kind of material good, but we are in some ways, selling something, that we are in some ways like a business, and we have to think in that way in terms of, you know, proponing ourselves and meeting the, you know, quote unquote, like consumers, just people that we want, which is everybody, you know. We think, I mean, as a minister, I think Buddhism would benefit anybody, right?
Yeah.
And so I'd like to get, you know, to everybody's like household, you know, trying to get them to understand like, oh yeah, you know, check us out. But how do you see, you know, social media working in that way for Gardena or just like temples, you know, in general?
Oh man, that's a really good question. I think, well, I have a background. Well, I'm a marketing coordinator for a financial advising company as my day job, as we like to say. But I love hate social media, much like everybody else in our generation does, because but at the same time, it's like, as like a, I guess, somebody thinking about in the industry and thinking about Temple, like I would have loved to have gotten, you know, or become more of a, this was like my Donna that I thought of before, that I would run the social media account for Gardena Buddhist Church. But there's just so many different ways that you could go about, like, do you want Gardena Buddhist Church to just have awareness? Do you want it for their members? Do you want it for, what is the like core purpose of like a social media account for you? And then work on that with that messaging in mind. So if we wanted more people to come to our temple, we would make the feed a little more consumable for the random Joe that stumbles upon it on our Discover page or whatever that looks like. But if we wanted it for the members, maybe we make it a private account and then we just give like praise and kudos to our members and put their pictures up and, you know, kind of create that homey look of the feed and how it impacts you differently. So I think relating social media back to the temple, we for sure need it because the temples are, the membership is dwindling. So we need to branch out to other ways to communicate to people that we're just as cool as people that believe in other religions and we are just as hip. And I think that's really difficult to do, especially with the generation of, they're doing so much already of like all of the core volunteers are doing so many things. They have so many hats. They're part of so many groups already. And then to tell them like, you need to have a social media page to run it and manage it. And to at the its prime, you would get a bunch of comments and you would get a bunch of discussions and great, you know, great discussions, couple haters per usual, but you know, having that community online is also helpful. I've always thought of like, what would be cool for a certain temple's Instagram was that you have like a moment of mindfulness where it's coming from your sensei and he like he or she tells like, you know, today we're going to think about blah, blah, blah. It's like very yoga centric. I felt it might be too not what's Jodo Shinshu, but at least it'll bring more people thinking, oh, so Buddhism is like this. Jodo Shinshu Buddhism makes you feel more, you know, it's good for your health. And I think promoting more of like, you know, if you join Gardena Buddhist Church, it's not just a bunch of, or a certain temple, I shouldn't just say just Gardena Buddhist Church. It's not just a bunch of clicks, or it's not just you have to give up rice, or you have to give up, you know, the Lent, right? Like, what do we have to give up in order to become a member? And you don't have to give up anything. You just have to give us your money. I'm just kidding.
Just your volunteer hours. You just have to give up all of them.
Exactly. We'll take all your volunteer hours and we'll help you out. But I think that's kind of the hard disconnect of like showing the younger generation and just people on Instagram or Twitter, or, you know, whoever is on it. But I feel like Instagram is going to be the main hub moving forward of the new users, because some people only follow our Instagram and have no idea where the website is, don't subscribe to our emails, don't, you know, and their only information or their only channel of information is through our Instagram. And let me tell you, it's not updated. So you're missing out on all of those people that don't have the rest. I think that's kind of where it is. So I think but it's also hard because you have to keep, I think it's hard at Gardena Buddhist Church specifically because everybody's messaging is different to different groups, right? Do we put it in Japanese? Do we not put it in Japanese? Of course we should put it in Japanese, but certain things are like, you know, join us for a TikTok seminar. We don't need to put it in Japanese because that generation's, it's a different demographic. But I think it's useful for each temple as long as you have the capacity for it, because it's not just posting a picture and saying goodbye. It's a lot of maintaining and all of that good stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I know, because we've looked into it, like, I feel like social media is really important in terms of interacting with potential, you know, members, like people that we want to reach out to. And so I know from my like research and like meeting with, you know, marketing teams and stuff, like it is a full time position, like to run social media for sure, especially for like an organization as big as one of these temples, right? So like, I get that it does put like this huge load on anyone that would want to volunteer for it. Like it would be so much work, but at the same time, like you said, that's like one of the only ways we would ever get people coming into the temple for like the first time, is that we have to reach out and meet them where they are. And so like, you're absolutely right to get on like the hip or like the cool thing. You know, I feel like there is something maybe for like Facebook, for like the older generation, if we are, I mean, I feel like you really hit the nail on the head where we got to pick who you want to send this to, because there is such a wide variety of people at the temple that it would be impossible to cater to everyone. And so you got like, all right, Instagram is going to be just for this group, and that's where we're going to go at. So I don't know, if you have some time or you need some money or something, I definitely would talk to you about like hooking you up for marketing at Sacramento. We'll get you some money somewhere. But
all for a side hustle. But yeah, I think if you ever need help, what's hard is that social media, like when people are like, okay, what's the key? It's like, the key is to always evolve. You know, one trend, like we said, renegade one day, out the next. So you don't know what trend to latch on to, really. But I think what I've been noticing, especially during the pandemic, is like infographics that are like engaging and want you to like, are like, oh, that's interesting, let me read more. Whether it's really hard news or soft news of like what small businesses to help, like to support, has always been something that I was like, I wonder if that would ever work, like just a bunch of text on a screen. But they've noticed, now this is like me nerding out about the only thing that I'm very, that I know about, but they said Gen Z only reads headlines. And you would think that it's our generation that only reads headlines, but they say millennials read bullet points versus Gen Z only reads the first thing that they see. So whatever it is, they run with it. So they're trying to teach the Gen Zers, like, you have to read the whole article, because let's say it's Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson meeting up for the first time, they're going to run with it, right? But if you read more, it's like they met for the first time at this restaurant and they went here. Maybe it's just a young person thing. Maybe they thought of that as us when we were reading things. But I felt like us millennials were like, interesting, let's read more. But you have to bold certain things for us of like, oh, they met at this restaurant. What does that restaurant look like? Let's click through. And then we go into the rabbit hole. So I think it's a lot of generational differences too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's generational differences. Like we're the generation, I think, that kind of grew into clickbait. We're like, see the headline, I was like, okay, I got to see what the next thing is. Whereas like maybe Gen Z, they like learned from that. They're like, nope, don't click it. That's it. All right. Next thing.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Don't click it. If you have time, then click it.
Yeah.
Don't worry. The video is just going to show you exactly what it says in the clickbait. I don't need to watch 15 minutes of nonsense just to get that 5 seconds of exactly what they said it was going to be. It is that.
Right. Even if you look on TikTok, there's 3-minute videos that people are like, okay, what was the resolution? And people go, okay, too long, didn't read, this is what happened. And I'm like,
oh, my favorite, one of my favorite TikToks, or like, I don't know if it's a trend or a single creator, is a guy who will like play the first part of a TikTok and it's like a multi, like,
oh my gosh, story. I love that, like, guy.
Here's what happened in the 3 minutes that it took. I'll explain it in 10 seconds.
Right.
Thank you.
Some of those I definitely agree with. Like, I did not need to see all 5 parts to know that at the end, your dog was safe.
The dog was saved. The end.
Yeah.
Dope. That's dope.
Yeah. There's like, seems to be this general like trend towards like shorter things. I mean, just with the entertainment industry, you know, people we're moving from like movies now to limited series. Cause like, I only want to sit down for like half an hour, give me the show, and then I'll wait for like another week. Like, I don't want to sit down and watch this like, you know, 3-hour movie, which doesn't mean that there shouldn't be those. Like, they exist, you know, they like slow burn movies I still appreciate, but it's like, I gotta break them up because I can't watch it in one sitting.
Right. what's funny is that I'm one of those, like you, I think our generation, I mean, with the exception of my fiance, maybe he's a weirdo, but I am like, I'll wait a week for my favorite show. Cause that between that Tuesday and the next Tuesday, I'm like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen next. I love that anticipation.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe oh, I hate that.
Maybe I'm the weird one.
No, I feel like, everybody else loves to binge. No, I feel like you're right. But I'm weird though, because I'll say I wait for things to end. So like Game of Thrones, I didn't start watching it until it was in its last season and it had already gone through like three episodes. And then I spent 2 weeks watching the first seven seasons.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but that's just how I like it, because I like to know. I think for me, I like to see the story as a whole, as opposed to like speculating like, oh, you know, in Doctor Strange, this is what's going to happen. And then like none of that stuff happens. I like, I like hype myself up too much for the next thing. And then it never, and then never comes to fruition.
Right.
So I'm like, just give me the 20 second TikTok where I know how it ends. And then that's it. That's all I need. But I need that for like binging shows.
Interesting. I feel like, yeah, maybe we're split. Millennials are split. Some of them like to binge and they get it all done in like 4 days. And then others are like, oh, I love the like, but I think what's hard is that I get a lot of like memes after the show drops. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't look at any social media because there's going to be too many spoilers. Luckily, the show that I really love, which is This Is Us, they don't really drop many spoilers until they feel better. That's because
not a lot of millennials watch This Is Us.
Yeah.
So they're not making content. It's no Euphoria.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I know what happened in Euphoria already and I don't watch the show.
Same. It's because of TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TikTok has
I know the memes. I don't need to watch it anymore.
Right.
But no, I don't know. It's funny because you're right. I do. Like when I was younger, I obviously was like, oh yeah, I'll watch it now. Maybe part of it was just we didn't have the accessibility to binge stuff.
Right. Before. The resources were different.
Yeah. But now I'm like, no. Just I'll wait till the season's over and then I'll just like watch the whole thing.
Right. We were super hyped that we could fast forward through commercials when we were little. And now it's like commercials. I don't know them.
Yeah. It's like, it's like YouTube. I want to skip through the ad. Come on. Yeah, bring up exactly, the button. Right? Bring up like the button.
How much do I have to pay for no Hulu ads?
Right. No, absolutely. So it's so crazy now to think that like, yeah, there's a generation growing up with being able to binge, being able to record TV on their, you know, in the cloud, being able to pay to not have like ads or like all of that. We had never heard of that as children, right? You just, that was when you had to go run and get a snack or go to the bathroom or something. Or
you could have time to have bathroom breaks. Now you just pause it.
Yeah.
It's true.
So,
or you started at the right time and then you take your bathroom break by pausing it so that you can fast forward through the commercials later.
Right.
So while we're talking about like the next generation and everything, you had mentioned something about when you were really young and you were talking about how you were, you had decided you were Buddhist. And so since we've been talking about, you know, like social media, reaching out to the younger generation, like how do we get them? How do we capture their attention? All these things, like how did you know at such a young age that you were Buddhist, or what did you identify with or whatever that you felt like you could make that strong of a conviction? I mean, obviously, you know, you don't know how you were feeling completely at that time, or maybe you do, I don't know. But like what was really there that you felt that maybe you knew that you were a Buddhist?
A really great question that I kind of don't remember. I don't remember that specific story. My mom always tells people like, yeah, I had no problem sending, like she didn't hate church. Like other, you know, people my age probably was like, oh, I gotta like wear closed-toed shoes and jeans and go to church or whatever, which is very lax versus like my other friends of different nationalities. They have their Sunday best. They have to wake up and then they get food after and then all of the stuff. I mean, I get a donut and I'm super excited after Sunday service at Gardena Buddhist Church. But I think it was a lot of the community that had to do with it. I felt more at home there. It felt like a very peaceful place to be. I actually was the weird kid that loved to chant. Nobody else liked to, they would whisper chant, or they would chant, they say they chant in their heart, in their brain. I love those. But yeah, I was a loud chanter for sure. Maybe in middle school I wasn't, but definitely elementary school and high school, I felt like it was cool to chant loud. I don't know why, but I mean, I'm sure all of the senseis that heard me were like, heck yeah, let's keep that girl chanting. So I think maybe it was something like that. It was more of a feeling based rather than like something that a sensei had said. I do love all of the messages and everything, as long as it's, you know, I feel like the messages that definitely resonate with people the most have something to do with real life stories. And then you can relate it back to Buddhism for sure. But I'm always, everyone is always like, oh, Claire's the party girl, because I'm like, well, we should have a party with a side of Buddhism, because that's how you're going to bring people in, right? You're not going to give them like, okay, there's this 8-hour seminar that you guys have to go to because it's so eye-opening. You have to say, we're having like a 7-hour party, and then we're going to have like a there's going to be a little service sprinkled in there, but you don't know when it's going to happen. So I think that has to change for sure. Like how people are going to be approached to join Buddhism. Cause I mean, or we have to do the flyer thing that everybody else does.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. There is definitely this like identity crisis that the temples are going through, because for such a long time they were able to count on people's kids coming to temple. Like, you know, the kids of the parents would come, and they would eventually become parents themselves, and they would be fine, right? But in the Sansei generation, that was not true. Like a lot of them didn't come back, and they found their own things, you know, wherever they're doing their own thing, and you know, that's fine. But we're now at this point where like, oh, we actually have to try to get members, and no one, I mean, if they tell you they know, then they're lying. But like, we don't know how to do that because we've never had to do that before. Right. And so like, absolutely, you know, like, I'm always interested when people tell me, especially, you know, new members, like people are like, oh, like, I wanted to go to the temple. And it's like, oh, well, why? Because that's kind of my insight into something that either the temple's doing right, that I'm doing right, or something that we could be emphasizing or working on or something. And so, you know, like what you said is definitely something that I've heard before, you know, this kind of feeling of community or home. It was something that I felt going to Berkeley. You know, I did grow up there, like, because my dad decided that we were going to go there. So I was, you know, as far as I can remember, going to Berkeley. And so I definitely felt like, since it was sort of a smaller temple that had this like homey feeling, you know, my friends, I knew, like, their families knew my family, like all the old ladies right. were watching out for everybody. Like, and then I remember distinctly when I got older that there was a new member, and I asked, or maybe she told, anyway, but she was saying how she went to, I want to say like the bazaar, like the cultural festival, and just saw how everyone was coming together to help this church, and they were having a good time. You know, they were talking to each other and joking around, and it just seemed like a nice place to be. And so she joined. And so I feel like there definitely is this sense of community that's very comfortable, that is very attractive. And it's something that we should be, you know, kind of like pushing or incorporating into, you know, when we meet people in whatever way, you know, that we can get them involved in that. So like, I appreciate you answering it. And absolutely, I could see how being a part of that community would make you feel like, yeah, I'm Buddhist, because this right. is where all the Buddhists hang out, like, and we're all cool. So like,
those are my people. I yeah. gotta go.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's great though, that you're able to find that. And, you know, I love that you were weird, because like, I mean, I felt like I was weird, cause I couldn't dress like the other kids. I had to dress up you know, it's probably cause my mom was Filipino, so she made me dress up like in Ooh. All the really like nice clothes. And your mom probably didn't pinch you like mine pinched me when you were like squirming around, but.
Well, actually, for Gardena Buddhist Church, they had to let the formal attire go because people had basketball after. So people, they just said, just come. So a lot of the kids show up in their basketball gear. And
that's funny.
Yeah, they just show up and they chant and then they go.
It's basketball for Buddha, obviously.
Right. Hoops for Buddha. Yeah. Ooh, that should be it.
You might be onto something. We'll jot it down.
Take the girl that knows nothing about basketball right here.
That's right. You have the idea. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And then they'll make me become chairperson.
obviously.
Yeah. But so they kind of had to lax that. So I was able to show up in like maybe a blouse and some jeans, or, you know, I love to dress up even now. So I probably wore more dresses than other people my generation, for sure.
Yeah, that's funny. I think Sacramento, the Betsuin has always been, I think it's transitioned a lot in the last, I mean, since I was like in kindergarten when I started going, because I remember when we used to go, it wasn't like your best clothes, obviously, but it was like, you know, you wear button down, you wear, mm-hmm. you don't wear jeans, you wear like your nice sneakers, obviously, right? Not the dirty ones that you wear every day. You wear the nicer ones. But then even like from when I started in kindergarten to when I was in high school, it kind of was more like you wear a hoodie and like, and like you see people in jeans and stuff. And like, just, it is what it is. I think in the other way, like I went the opposite way because I was helping out a lot with YAC. So then I'd come in like a button down and a tie and slacks. But now, even now, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to throw on like a flannel and some chino pants, and I'll wear my like nice sneakers and then I'll go. But like the high school kids, it's very much like, kind of like you were saying, like hoodie, shorts, you know, jeans,
whatever's clean.
Yeah. Honestly, getting them there is the hard part. And like, if I see them there and they're wearing like sweatpants and a hoodie, I'm like, oh, you're here. Good.
Were you tired? Did you have did you study a lot? What's happening here?
So like, because I work with the ninth, or because I do Dharma school for the ninth and through 12th graders, they like to tell me like, oh man, I was like at a birthday party. I'm like, you don't have to like justify why you're dressed up the way you were. Like, it's fine.
You showed up.
I'm glad glad you're here. Yeah. Let's just go to Dharma school now.
It seems like we got a good amount of time.
Yeah.
Did you? Okay, hold on. Let me stop my recording on my end.
No, that's okay. I was just, because we're going to have to like close it up eventually. We can't just stop it there. But
we can't just shoot the shit for any longer.
I mean, we could.
We definitely could.
We could definitely break this up into like three episodes. So like, usually what we do is we'll do like 45 minutes to an hour, and we've been going like an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
thanks for having. Well, here we'll start the outro. But thanks for having me.
One more thing. All right.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, I had something. Where was it? Because there's a couple things where it's like, I think it's too far to go back to like this, the weight, and like I was thinking that, you know, there's like a buffet style of like things that you were doing, and not a lot of people have that opportunity. You know, like they have all those opportunities, and then you kind of figure out what you want. But let's see, since we were talking about the kids, okay.
When we get off track, he'll like run through how he wants to get there in his head. And then I'm like, okay. I'm just along for the ride at this point.
Which I guess like is not a normal thing, because like, I don't know, I don't realize that I do that. Like, I'm thinking, because I'm just thinking. So I'm like, there's things going on in my head, and I realize that people can see like my face when I'm doing that.
Honestly, and this is the only reason why we work too, is because he does a lot of like the heavy lifting on these shows. And then I'm just kind of like, here's my two cents. There you go.
That's what a podcast is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the backup person.
He's producer.
Yeah. I get the guests, and I show up and throw in like eight words, and then I'm like, and I was here.
You need both.
You do. You really do. Cause he does all the heavy lifting like before and after the podcast.
I do have a hard stop in like 5 minutes though.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. All right. Real quick then. All right. So the bar is definitely different for like younger kids coming in terms of like dress and stuff. And I mean, like, mm-hmm. I feel like there is this sense of like, oh, I gotta go. And, but you know, as you mentioned before, like, you also kind of felt that way. I mean, you said you love going to temple, but then there's also the sense of like, some of this is work, but then you get reinvigorated later and you feel like what was at once, you know, kind of a chore, now you're enjoying it. And I was wondering if you had for yourself, like any insight as to what maybe flipped that switch for you.
It's really interesting that you ask me that. Okay, so I have both of these. I have the wisteria, and then I have Now Mommy Dog. What's the one here?
Showing it in the camera works really well for the podcast format.
I know. I have two.
She's showing us the necklace that she's wearing. And if you were curious, she also is Hypebeast, got the hundreds sweater.
Okay, I'm casual. I'm church casual today. But
apparently the hundreds is casual for her. So. Yeah.
But so I got the wisteria first because all of my friends have the cross, and I felt left out that I didn't have anything here, because I would always wear a nenju. I wore a nenju like 24/7. That was part of the regimen. You put on your watch, you put on your nenju, you put on the necklace, and you're out to go, and I'm good to go. And then I stopped wearing the nenju because some of my nenju started to get a little worn, and I was like afraid that it would unravel. And you guys should have a superstition episode. That would be super cool, on Buddhist superstitions. But anyway, so then I asked for graduation. I wanted the Namami Dabutsu one. And then so the church ladies pulled together and they gave me that one. So I put both of them on. So now I don't have to wear, or I decided to not wear a nenju.
I'm sorry, the church ladies just bought this for you because you asked for it?
Well, they were like, what do you want for a graduation gift? And I was like, oh, you know what? I saw that there's a Namami Dabutsu one. I would probably want that one. And they were like,
They asked you what you wanted for a graduation
gift? First off, Matt, you're not thinking far enough ahead. They got this for her so that when she becomes a member, they can guilt her in to being a chairperson for something. It's like, oh, you know, we love your necklace. I remember when we got that for you. Also, do you want to chair the next event for us?
You're also in the pipeline for being a BWA president.
You're going to join the board, and you're in for life.
Okay.
No, well, I expressed to my mom, I was like, oh, you know, I saw that Now Mommy Dabutsu one. That would be really cute to go with my other wisteria one. And then so she trickled it to them saying like, hey, I know you guys are stumped for a gift. So I think it would be appropriate that you gave it to her. So I think having the FOMO of other people's religions, of like them being able to like do all these fun things. I don't know if it's fun things, but like having the accessories and having that faith instilled in them so well that it like trickled to me too, of like, well, I want to be able, well, like now when like other people say like, oh, is that your name? I was like, no, it's not. Thank you. Sometimes I have the energy to say like, oh, I just say it's a Buddhist prayer because that's the easiest thing to say. Right. But then there was these little kids at Dharma school, and they were like, what does that say? What does it say? Miss Claire, what does it say? And I was like, oh, I can say it. It says Now Mommy Dabutsu. They go, oh, really? And then they look harder. They're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. So it's way different. And I think that's what it kind of means, to just be cool.
So it would flip the switch from it being like a chore to work is the like pressure from your Christian friends of like having a lot of stuff to do that you didn't have.
Right. I think it's the pride thing. Like they have cool music that they listen to in the car. I don't have that, but I do have these necklaces that
you don't listen to Obon songs in the car?
No, it's once a year, and then it stays in my head for like 2 months after, and then I'm capped. That's it.
Well, I think you make a great point that we are not cool, like, which is also, I think, kind of ironic, because Buddhism has been cool for a very long time in America, and yet somehow we have not tapped into that at all. So like, there's a huge missed opportunity there, which, you know, with your marketing skills, I'm sure you would do very well with Sacramento. So I will be sending you my proposal very shortly. Oh, wow.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we gotta get Buddhism on the cool level. And I don't know, I think I'm hoping, like you guys said, that you have younger generations in the pipeline that are cool and hip and relevant to create these mediums for the next generation. Cause I know Christianity wasn't cool like that overnight, right? So there's gotta be, we gotta start planting seeds. And but the hard part is that I came to the realization, all three of us came to the realization of Buddhism is for me on our own through our own paths. But the younger generation or different people come to Temple because their parents made them, because they had friends. And then now that their friends moved away, they don't have that community anymore. So it's real difficult because all the older see yourself as Buddhist. It's like, well, you do. And you came to that conclusion, and you might have come later than what you're expecting all of us to do too.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's another opportunity where we could facilitate that kind of introspection, you know, for people and be like, hey, you think you might be Buddhist? Come out, you know, we'll see. Right. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. So I don't want to take up any more of your time. We do appreciate you coming out and talking to us. You gave us so much incredible insight and just, you know, very, very fun to have a conversation with you. So
thanks for having me.
Is there anything that you want to do?
Anytime.
All right.
We have a new co-host. It's going to be Claire.
Maybe.
It's only given up an hour or so, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Sunday. For sure. The time part is fine. I just feel like I would have to brush up a little more on my Jodo Shinshu knowledge.
That's what Reverend Matt's for. Yeah.
Okay, got
it. You can fit into my slot of here's some fun information about nothing.
Right.
Is there anything you wanted to plug?
I should plug people, but I'll be like, oh, I would like to plug Gardena Buddhist Church. If you're in the Gardena area and have some fun, we have Zoom services every Sunday at 9:30, I believe. If not, you can look on the website at gardenabuddhistchurch.org. Follow our Instagram. I'm on there sometimes. I get it done. And I think my lasting thought would just be find your community, find your way into Buddhism, and it'll keep you very at peace, and it'll help your overall health.
That's what we're going with. Peace. Yep. Peace and health.
Exactly.
That'll be the title of this.
It's cool.
Peace and health. Be a Buddhist.
Peace and health and a sprinkle of NFTs.
Yeah. We have to make Sacramento Buddhist Church and Gardena Buddhist Church NFTs.
Oh, that'd be wild. I don't know what it would be.
I'll just write a bunch of Namu Amida Butsus, and each one will be an NFT.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
That's what it is.
All right. We've done it. I hope nobody steals this as we...
I know.
They're going to take our NFT idea and make millions.
We got to build that patent now. Yeah. All three of our names.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thanks, Claire. We really appreciate it. Reverend Matt, did you want to plug anything? You got anything?
Not until Claire makes my social media page.
He does need a revamp. He's right.
Be careful. I don't know.
Do you have anything?
Nope. I never do.
All right. Well, that's it from us then. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.